It's light through, as McLuhan would talk about, but it's they're more Western than China. So, but they're taking this. So, yeah, you can have English, Russia. Mm-hmm. That's the English side of eye culture, and that's the tactile side of eye culture. And then the Spanish, say I know it as if I've given birth to it. That's proprioceptor visceral. The Germans say I know it like the inside of my pocket. That's tactile interface. Now, the Germans did really well in the 90s. They basically, they're still doing well. They're buying up all the publishing, Bertelsmann and these people. They have big power in the internet world. They own a lot of companies. It's interesting that Germany took over in the 90s like the Japanese took over in the 70s. We were in a tactile culture in the 70s and 80s, one-way tactile, mass medium of tactility. So the Japanese, unconsciously or whatever, or we let them come in because they had that census. They could ride the tactile nature of industry in the 70s and 80s. But then they collapse in the early 90s because we move into tactile interface because the internet provides interactivity. And interface, you're interacting. It's not just one way. So it's interesting that Germans ride in on that. And so their tactile interface, good description of the internet, your experience when you're on the computer. So the French, I know it au fond, they're auditory. Now, what's interesting about the French is they were popular. Paris was the cultural head in the first half of the 20th century. In the radio era, which is acoustic, the French can ride that wave of their sensibility. So you can see the Parisians with their Jean-Paul Sartre existentialism, which is a real acoustic primitive sensibility, a retrieval acoustic sensibility. The Parisians are the cultural center in the first part of the 20th century. But what's interesting is that who were the famous artists of the Parisian world? Picasso and Braque and these people, they came from Spain, Salvador Dali. So within art, the Spanish thing did a nice twist on the acoustic effect of movies and telephones and radio. So they had the Spanish proprioceptive because the electric nervous system, the extension of the nervous system is tactile and your inner space, your proprioceptive. So it's interesting in retrospect how cultures rise under the bias of a particular medium, and nobody's aware of it. But Marshall became aware of that process. So who did I leave with? The Talanders, I know it like a snake swimming water, the dance of thought among words. Anybody else? There's eight of them. Oh, Americans. So I know it inside out. Kinetic manipulatory. It's interesting that they built the car culture, the assembly lines, what's called the Fordist economy all over the world. And that needs top-down management. So they would be manipulatory. That's the kinetic bias of the industry level, of the industry medium of the 19th and early 20th century. And McLuhan said America would eventually have the biggest identity crisis because it was visually biased. He never said it was kinetic biased, but it was visually biased, and it would suffer the most. America has suffered the most as a culture. Everybody thinks it's violent, and guns and all this stuff. It suffered that, but really it was because it was a kinetic biased culture, and kinetic biased culture couldn't handle the tactile television situation. Now here's the next important point. Television itself is tactile because it has a lot of the senses, eye, ear, smell, and movement. Camera moves. Many people, when they see something in vivid color TV, they'll smell the rose. It's not smell-o-vision, but it's activating that sense. So it's the medium with the most sensory life in the 50s. Now then what happens? The computer goes around it. And then the satellite goes around it. Now the satellite is going around the whole planet, and it's an extension not of parts of our body, but an extension of the whole planet. This is the end point. We have extended our arms through tools, our eyes through writing. Industrialism is kinetic and muscles, and we extended the tactile and proprioceptive system with electricity. But then, and that's just parts of the human body, then the whole planet was extended. The whole organism, because the satellite is a little programmed Earth that somebody can live inside of, whereas you couldn't do it, you can't live out in space. But we created an environment that you could live out in space. So we created a little Earth medium that you can live in. So it's like an extension of the planetary organism. So that is the final punchline. So then the satellite is going around the planet, and people are starting to feel that the planet is the content of the satellite, and therefore it's a stage, because the satellites create a proscenium arch around the planet. And that means every previous medium becomes an actor. Not just people become an actor. Think of the demand in the 70s for performance in industry and performance art. Everybody had to perform. There's a stage metaphor there. It's because the global theater effect of the satellite made all media and its contents become actors. McLuhan called them actors in the global theater, but most people didn't understand that he meant media were actors. Now, when different media are interacting within the envelope of satellite, want to just bring that in? When the different media are interacting within the satellite percentage.
Hi, Bob. Sorry to be late, but I'm here.
It is a simulation of the tactile organism. Think of each medium extension of the sense. Think of the satellite as a coherency or a detachment that's looking at the whole theater, planetary theater, and watching the media interact. There are extensions. It can be an orchestrating, if it was done consciously, an orchestrating of the different media. That's miming the orchestration that the tactile organism does of all the sensory input. So the important point about McLuhan was, yes, people say TV is tactile, but he was describing in the 60s the programmed environment due to the satellite, which meant that the environment among media had arrived at tactility. All right? This is an important point. The environment was tactile. The interplay of all the media, not just television as in a tactile extension itself. The television becomes just another player by the 60s and 70s, and the proscenium arch contains the interplay. So the mixed corporate media of the world is... Mixed corporate media is the interplay of all these media. So it's literally gone beyond TV per se as tactile. All the media are interacting in a tactile way. So here's a quote in my long essay on our site. Here's a quote, the first one I use. From 1962, the satellite's just gone up. Listen to this. McLuhan says, "And I think it is this multiplicity of media that is now enabling man to free himself from media for the first time in history." This is Finnegan's Awake. Because every culture was subliminally controlled by the medium it used in developing a sensory bias, like I indicated, of the plenary awareness of I know it, blah, blah, blah. You can see historically, anthropologically, the bias of each culture. He says, "So modern man, he has been the victim, the servo mechanism of his technologies, his media, from the beginning of time. But now, because of the sheer multiplicity of them," meaning the media, "he is beginning to awaken because he can't live with them all." Now, this is a really interesting point. This is the point to begin with. What does it mean to awaken when we're doing it out of pressure? And what are we awakening to? Are we awakening to the fact that the mixed corporate media tactile media environment is forcing us to awake? So the awakening is ersatz. That's the sophisticated level McLuhan's talking about. And the only medium he could use to really lay it down like commandments from Moses was the book. See, McLuhan did not identify with being a writer. He used all media. He was interested in the dynamics of all media. Being a writer was a minor operation. Bob Logan knows, did the book Mother Invention. The problems of doing the book in the 70s, and McLuhan was half into it, you'd have to write, it was like haphazard the way he would do a book. And all the other writers had haphazard times with them. You know, he'd just dictate a bit and get you to fill in the other part. It wasn't that important doing a book, but...
He couldn't write.
He just orally, just dictated. So the thing is that he did do understanding media, though Ted Carpenter, his close colleague, says that he wrote a lot of it. And Ted, when he dies, or whenever he's going to reveal his archives, can prove what he claims with his notes from writing it. So many people think Marshall wrote Understanding Media alone. But maybe Ted did do it. But the point is, a book, McLuhan said, we need books so we can put down these incredible insights so people can think about it, to become aware that of the word awaken. What's it mean? It doesn't mean, as the New Agers say, you wake up and you're in a rapture. You have to become aware of what's motivating you to wake up. Okay, what medium is happening? So McLuhan is in a very difficult position, and the only way that he can point to the sophisticated level he's talking about, where the medium is the message, and the medium is waking us up, which on the surface would be a good thing. Man is not a servo mechanism. But we're only waking up because that's the effect of the satellite. So he then has to be satirical. He has to prod you. So that is why McLuhan would say that all his writings are satire. And to realize, everything he wrote was satirical. No one took it that way in the 70s and 60s. They thought he was, I say the medium is an extension of man, blah, blah, blah. If they had known that Finnegan's Wake had already done all this, McLuhan wrote a letter to Playboy in 1970, said, T.S. Eliot's doctrine of the auditory imagination is a common cliche in our culture today, because that's after radio and rock and roll and jazz by the 70s. But he says, what the population is not aware of is Finnegan's Wake. They have not awakened to the meaning of Finnegan's Wake. So there was the hidden ground, Finnegan's Wake. He understood, no one would understand it. But the wake was the way of someone would write a tactile book. And the media are embedded, nomenclatured in there. So Marshall was always spending his life translating Finnegan's Wake. Not that he worshipped the book, but the insights and the way it was written pointed to something. Because Marshall later would say that Finnegan's Wake and Eliot and Joyce and Lewis and Pound were knee-jerk reflections of the radio effect. They were unaware of radio. Joyce came to the closest to it, and he could project ahead of what the TV effect was.